not freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and mees, this is the Eat Sleep Elite podcast. This is the weekly AEW review and breakdown. We are here to talk about another fun week, AEW Holiday Bash, or Dynamite Holiday Bash. I would say Dynamite and Collision and Rampage Holiday Bash. We were bashing on the holidays. It was the Holiday Bash. Bah humbug. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But, anyway, how did we not have Grinchhausen, bro? What the hell? Anyway, anyway, that being said, off rip. I'm ripping it off immediately. Band-aid's coming off, y'all. We are doing a bit of a truncated show this week. Also, by the way, how's this going, everybody? I'm Bane Duke, also known as the Duke of Derps. This is my good buddy Charlie. How's it going, Charlie? It's a regular episode this week, but a little bit truncated. So a big word, I know we're trimming the fat this week. There's going to be a little bit less overall. We're not hitting every segment this week of both shows or all three shows. We're hitting the highlights and also obviously our favorites. We're going to go. So after this, we'll jump straight into our favorites. I don't think we have any news to talk about. I believe is what we said. There's like some stuff, but I'm not worried about it, to be honest with you. It's nothing crazy. I will mention this really quickly. Bandido got hurt again. God fucking damn it. Hopefully it's a short-term concussion, but
and
I'd rather it not be
hurt. I think they did change what was happening.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Hopefully he's not out for too long, but no. Concussions are serious, and I'd rather him be out for as long as he needs to be. So, fuck, man. I was so excited for that comeback. So that's the only news we're going to talk about this week. I just mentioned it off rip. This is just really fucking sad because that guy was on a – and he had hype behind him and everything. It sucks. Anyway. And then after that, we're going to do our predictions for the pay-per-view coming up. We'll be doing our World's End predictions. I don't think we're going to talk about Final Battle at all this week. We're not. We'll probably mention if we mention anything about it next week on the show. Or whenever we do another show, I'm saying like whenever on the next show, we'll mention something about it if we get around to it, but we just haven't. Done that yet, and although we're hearing good things about some of the stuff on it, so we're definitely look at it, just haven't gotten there yet. As you all know, the relationship with Ring of Honor has become strained on this show, you know, so but that being said, I guess let's get right into it with the favorites, Charlie, and I'll be going first this week, and it's gonna be the week of Will Ospreay, who has been better than Will Ospreay in 2024, Charlie? It's not many people, and he did not fucking disappoint at all this week. You know, if you, between the two matches he was going to have slated for him this week, had told me this was going to be the better match, I'd have been like, okay, I believe you, but I just would have totally guessed it was going to be the Ricochet match. You know what I mean? So we're talking about Will Ospreay versus Darby Allin from Dynamite Holiday Bash. And by the way, not even the main event of this show, and it was still the best match of the week, I think. Like, what? First of all, maybe it should have been, but I mean, meh, that's all personal opinion. You know, what I think ended up getting slotted in the main event, was fine for what the story they're telling, but this show or this match was just insane. I referred to it in my notes as a hog skipping, gravity defying, ultra flippy, flying death match fuck fest, because that's what it was. They seemed to have one goal in this match, Charlie, which was push the pace. There was not a single second where they weren't pushing the pace in this match, and that's pure Darby Allin, that's pure Will Ospreay when it comes to him, when it comes down to it at the end of the day. And I just, this is getting my Russells, or getting my Jimmy's Russell, Charlie, for when we get Will versus Kenny next year, because they're going to be pushing the pace in that match too, because I don't care what Kenny tries to tell me, that man's never going to stop. He's an animal, and he'll never stop being the best fucking athletes in the world, unless the doctors literally say you will die if you do, you know, like. And even then he might still fucking do it because he's a madman, you know? That's got me fucking super excited that, you know what? I actually wrote this in my notes too. This reminded me of the super sprint we'll have with the MJF for the international title earlier this year, how they just never slowed down.
Oh, yeah.
The pace just got pushed. And by the end of a 17 minute match, Max was like super gassed, you know what I mean? Or whatever it was with however long it was, you know, like, oh, just really great stuff. And Darby had a rough landing on the sharp edge of the ring, bro. That was brutal. I think he was getting tossed to the outside of the ring at one point. He just landed brutally. Ooh. Darby Darby's just having a tough time lately. He's taking some bad falls, but I guess that's kind of Darby's thing. All right, so let me see. Oh my God. So yeah, they tore the fucking house down with this one. Dude, the 2.99 infinitum kickout that Will did on the reverse. Okay, so there was a sequence that was Darby goes for a code red. Will hits him with a fucking hidden blade instantly. And then he goes to set up, I think it's for a Tiger Driver maybe, but it might have been for the Stormbreaker. But then Darby reverses, flips it into a code red, and then covers them. 1, 2, 2.99, kicks out. It was one of the craziest things I've seen in a while. Like, it's one, you know, we get those kickouts every now and then in AEW that you just can put in a compilation of just insane 2.99 kickouts. This is another one, dude. I was on the edge of my seat for this whole match, and oh my God, he had a Styles Clash off the apron that I thought, like, you know, oh. And then the "You Killed Darby" chant.
That was actually remarkable.
And the crazy thing, Charlie, is after all that, Darby fucking Allin won the match. I love Darby Allin so much, dude. What a fucking guy. He does the David versus Goliath so fucking well that you never know when he's going to win these matches. And, like, dude, Darby is fucking on another level. And then Claudio makes an appearance, and, you know, obviously that's to set up for the stuff for their stuff with the Death Riders. I thought it was actually really well done, just having him come out and kind of just be like posturing. He's not even gonna attack him. He's just like, yeah, I'm watching you, you know, I'm gonna out here with my friends, you know, for my next match, for this next match, you know, like I like that. It was like a little detail. So let me know your thoughts on this match, Charlie. This Hobbs kicking gravity defying ultra flippy flying death match fuck fest, what you think?
I physically could not put better wording than you just did for this match. This was so much fun, right? I mean, this was so much fun. And this is the one match of the tournament that I think I was most excited for on paper. And it delivered on every aspect. It's my favorite match of the tournament. Son of a bitch, man. This might be my favorite tournament match of the year. I'm really, really having to consider this. And because we're doing our awards, we got our awards coming out next week, guys. So, this might seriously be my Dynamite match of the year. I'm going to have to really, really think about that because it's got a couple that it's in chase for. No matter what, it's in my top three. So I'm really having to think about that. But Darby Allin, he is got to be one of the best television wrestlers. And Will Ospreay is right there with him.
How amazing is that? Because technically Will hadn't wrestled on television really until like this year or last year.
Yeah, always kind of trying to wait and see like what's it going to look like, right? And I think Will got it a little bit quicker than Okada did. Even Okada's first couple TV matches, we were like, okay, he's still trying to find that pace that he's working for, which is why the Continental Classic's working so well for him. The crowd was so good. I mean, they were so good. That's one of the big notes about this week. The crowd was fucking phenomenal, especially when we get to the ballroom for Collision. Darby went bow for bow with Will Ospreay. Looked like he belonged every step of the way. That Styles Clash actually got me out of my fucking seat.
We have to start talking about Darby as one of the best wrestlers in the world now because he's standing toe-to-toe with one of the absolute, maybe
there's,
the absolute best.
There's no one
best
that wrestles like him. He's that modern day, just, you know every time you flip him on, what he's going to give you. He is that daredevil type performer, right?
So I would go as far as to say and this is coming from a person who I idolized Jeff Hardy, you know, as a kid, yeah. You know what I mean? That was the only wrestling show I've ever gone to, was motivated by going to see the Hardys. You know what I mean? And I think he has outperformed the legacy that Jeff Hardy had as the daredevil.
Think about how young he is.
Oh yeah. And he's, if assuming his body holds up, you know, that
the
which
compilation
I think it will,
you can
he takes
do
well,
Darby,
good care of
Darby's,
himself,
you know, daredevil type moves. It's insane already. And that's what makes him so special. There's no
and he's
one
got
like
time
him.
To keep doing it. And he's taking better care of himself than Jeff seems to have. You know what I mean? So like this guy's going to go down as the daredevil of wrestling, I think.
And I think that's why he is good enough at the other stuff to really hang with all these other guys. So,
I think he has to be. I think that was the thing. And I think he probably hasn't said this, but I would imagine early on in his career when he was training to be a wrestler, he got really good at the fundamental stuff so that he could do the crazy stuff. Because it's one thing to be able to do that. It's another thing entirely to be able to do that. And then – because Jeff has always been able to do that too. Jeff isn't like fucking Bryan Danielson in the ring, but he's good enough to be able to hold his own. He's always been able to use what he was good at. Him and Matt both were good at accentuating what they were good at and hiding each other's, you know, weaknesses or individual weaknesses by, you know, Jeff was, Jeff was great at laying out at certain situations on cells when, like, you know, maybe someone else wouldn't have for that long, because maybe he doesn't have something for that spot in the match, but it actually works out really well for the pacing of the match or something like that. You know what I mean? Whatever, you know.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, my top two matches of this tournament are this and then the Briscoe versus Fletcher. Like,
that's fair.
This tournament's really, really hit some high balls. And
I think Fletcher versus Okada hit like certain
that
whole levels.
Cold red sequence was so good too.
Yeah, that sequence really was awesome. if Dynamite match of the year for me wasn't like something that I had like so special to me, like it would have easily been replaced by this. But I just.
And then I think, dude, we got to acknowledge this too. I mean, Darby Allin did fucking pin the guy. Like,
yeah, that's huge. That this is big. Darby's been losing a lot lately and not being like, you know, able to like win these situations because of all the stories he's been put into this year where he's just been in the right position to lose a lot of times. You know what I mean? And like, I think this was huge. I think this will lead to something, especially if Will goes on to win the thing. You know what I mean? Like that would make a lot of sense for it to be like a first contender for Will or something like that.
Darby
you know?
Allin world title run is going to be the most bastard fucking shit we've ever seen.
Bro's
going
to be like getting the shit kicked out of him.
Really,
it's going to be like a fucking hardcore title reign, straight up. Like everyone's going to be trying to kill the guy.
Really,
you know?
Hope we get to experience this, man. Oh my god! And let's jump to another match where Will Ospreay lost. Yeah, we're going to Ricochet versus Will Ospreay on Christmas Collision from the Ballroom. And dude, Ricochet has been, really these past 2 weeks, it's been a slow heel turn. Not slow because it's 2 weeks. It's been a fast heel turn. And when you get to this point, after like the 6 episodes from when it's really started, at least in my eyes, I guess it technically started when he took the card. Sure. But for me, it's really been tuned up a notch.
I think it started before then. I think it started when he first cut his first promos against Will when he got to the company, dude. I think they've been playing this line with him since he got here, and they've just been waiting to pull the trigger.
I do agree. Maybe there was an aspect of planting the seeds, but definitively, from Dynamite the previous week, is when they've started this. Like, okay, here we go. We are going to fully embrace your heel turn of... it's a goofy heel. It's different. And it's a character that, and I'm not afraid to say this, I think this is the first time we've ever seen Ricochet with a character, and anyone that followed WWE for all these years too, that has, maybe this is your only experience with him, that's kind of one of the biggest, worst things that happened when he got to WWE is he really didn't have a fucking character, and now we're finally getting one, and it's a pretty intriguing character. But the match itself, dude, it was fucking Ricochet versus Ospreay. It was really, really good. I they just have such chemistry. And
we talked about the potential of getting this match once this year before Ricochet was even signed, and we ended up getting it twice. What a fucking world we live in.
I know. And it could be a third time based on how these brackets are going.
That's true. I mean, they could end up facing each other, so that is absolutely possible.
I just thought the crowd brought so much heat to this. There was a moment where Ricochet did a little flip, like a little slip on the top rope. And, you know, the crowd's going to start giving him shit. But he's this heel character, so in one motion, he flicks him off and then fucking cracks Ospreay over the skull. I'm like, dude, he gets it.
Oh, you know what we also didn't talk about? We didn't talk about the little prank. There was a little prank at the beginning of this match. Did you catch that? They threw toilet paper in the ring. Ospreay literally could not fucking... He lost his shit, dude.
That's how you know this heel thing's working, man. He's getting what we need. He's getting good heat.
Ospreay literally, I was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen. Ospreay had to run out of the ring and hide on the side because he was fucking laughing so hard.
Yeah, bro, he was corpsing. Ospreay,
bro.
They got
him,
man.
Awesome, bro.
I really enjoyed this. You know, he did the cheating without cheating aspect to win the match. And Ospreay got pinned twice this week. And guess what? It didn't hurt him at all because it's Will fucking Ospreay. And he put these guys over. He's putting over Ricochet and Darby Allin, two guys that I think are going to be the foundation of 2025. I think 2025 is going to be a very special year in AEW. And we're going to talk about this more on our awards show, but this has been the best year of AEW, especially
100%.
In the ring.
This has been the most fun for us to cover.
This has been the best year in the ring. And I hope that other people feel like that with us.
I'm going to say something extremely bold.
Maybe
we lost the CM Punk. we gained a Will Ospreay. I think we won in the end.
And even before that, we lost him and gained the Adam Copeland. Like, go one-to-one with these guys.
We're not going to talk about this segment this week, but our FTR teased up that they're going to be not coming alone. I think Adam Copeland's going to be in Fight for the Fallen.
And he should be. And it's going to be such a welcome back. And I really hope more people reflect this year about how great this year was in the ring. I mean, really.
Oh, and just to pop you really quickly, this is what I wrote in my notes. To win the match, Ricky does the ball ticky-tappy.
Ricky ticky-tacky. And this is what is so underrated about Ricochet, Duke. I mean, seriously, this is what's so underrated about him. When that reaction was happening, he was so naturally, he just brilliantly and naturally reacted to it. And that's why I think, you know, I don't know how people feel about this character. I'm actually so curious if they are digging it because it's different. Like, no one's really ever seen Ricochet with this. He's always just kind of been, I'm better than you.
This has got to be cathartic for the dude because he's been pissed for years. And like now he just gets to let it out through this character, essentially.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Just let it cook. Yeah. You know, not getting in the Hurt Syndicate is a good writing, and that is a good sign.
Yes, and I'm not entirely sure. Do you think that they're still, like, do you like the slow burn of them still not having, like, selected who they're going to go forward with in the Hurt Syndicate? I actually thought we would know by now, like.
Yeah, I mean, it still very well might be Swerve.
I suppose so, that's true.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to see when it actually does happen. It's still so fresh with the two of them, plus MVP. And, you know, let me rephrase that. It's still so fresh with the three of them. MVP is the core of the group. But, you know, the two are the wrestlers, if you will.
Hear me out. Adam Page wins the championship. Swerve Strickland comes down to the ring, you know, to make some kind of statement. And maybe Hangman has the upper hand and then Hart Syndicate can make the save. I don't know.
Could happen. And in 2 weeks from now, Ricochet is wrestling for the championship, if it's assuming Sabre's still holding it, that is. They can't say he's wrestling for it just yet because they don't know if Sabre's still going to be holding it. But I feel like this is a good time to, before we just kind of jump into the rest of our stuff for this show, because we will be doing our World's End predictions and all that, but just kind of give people kind of a look at what is coming forward, because these next couple weeks are very, very packed. So we'll be doing our World's End review. That'll be our next show. Our previous show was our Four Pillars review. Our Four Pillars just, I don't know, it's our declaration of the future of AEW, if you will. And after this week, we'll start openly talking about them. But because we're going to be little assholes about this, we're not going to fucking tell you who they are. You got to go find out who they are, motherfucker.
Yeah, the first pillar is.
Exactly. That was a brilliant pick.
Yeah, that's why I picked, because, you know, they're really actually important to AEW, you know?
Yeah. And if you guys want to learn about them, it's a fun show. That is a fun show. Not to fucking suck our own meat, but it is a fun show. And
a little bit of self-meat suckage is all right.
We'll allow it. After this, we're going to be doing our World's End review the day after. We've mentioned this before.
W Glaze.
We mentioned this before, but I will be there, and I'm not going to fucking... We're not going to post that show at 2 in the morning. It might be hell. And then during that same week, we're going to get out our ESC awards. We wanted to wait until after World's End. I'd expect our ESC awards on our traditional podcast day that week. Again, there's no collision, so AEW schedules even is kind of fucked up a little bit. So keep an eye out for that. And then the following week, Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty, we're going to be doing reviews of those shows. It's AEW shows. I mean, obviously Wrestle Kingdom is it, but we love watching that shit. And Wrestle Dynasty, it's AEW in Japan. So yeah, there's going to be like 4 podcasts in about 8 or 9 days apart when all those really get going. So yeah, I hope you enjoy our show because you're going to get a hell of a lot of it. And if you, let me put it to you like this. Even if you haven't paid a lick of attention to New Japan Pro Wrestling this year, you can still enjoy Wrestle Kingdom because we really haven't, outside of the first couple months, been like locked into New Japan Pro Wrestling. So even for us, it'll be a good time. And I am looking forward to all of that. But that being said, we do have some stuff today that we want to talk about on this week's edition of Pro Wrestling. And to start us off, we had Mercedes Moné take on and defeat Anna Jay to retain the TBS championship. I think I'm going to go as far as to say a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how her matches with Mariah May, we've seen all this improvement upon Anna Jay, right? And now here we are. She wasn't forgotten about. She was thrust almost immediately right into this program with Mercedes Moné. Duke, I like this match even more. This is my favorite Anna Jay singles match to date. I was really, really impressed with this match. Such good back and forth that they had. And Anna Jay could feel the crowd on her side. So could Mercedes. And they both played into that. She's lost this match. And look, now you do have to ask yourself, where does she go after this? Because I can't believe I'm going to say this. I do think she should have dropped it here.
I was actually fully expecting Anna Jay to walk into World's End and defend the title straight up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that was my thought in my head. And maybe it would be like running it back. You know what I mean? That would be the plan. Yeah. But I'm actually kind of really shocked.
I'm pretty surprised she didn't drop it, because we even saw some hype on Blue Sky the week of the second Mariah May title match. And a lot of people were thinking, yeah, there's a good chance Anna Jay could win this. And they were even believing that she could. And I was like, damn. I mean, I don't see her beating Mariah, but then at that time we were talking, you know, maybe Mercedes would make sense. Because I do think they have plans for Mercedes in the world title scene. I don't think she's going to be TBS champion forever. Check back next year when we're talking and she's still champion. But, I don't think she's going to be champion forever, but I started to really believe. The match, the crowd, all of it, they all believed. There was this one of these moments where she hit her iconoclasm. And then planted her with the gory bomb, and Mercedes has to like get the rope break, and the crowd is so fired.
Fucking roared for that, dude. I was like, dude, Will Ospreay doesn't even get that reaction when they grab the ropes. Like, what? That's insane.
And opening up a special Dynamite with the women's championship match. Great, great sign. This is it felt important. And I think Mercedes ended up winning with the Moneymaker, and Statlander was watching from the back. And we know from Collision, they set that match up on World's End, so we'll get some predictions out for that match. But yeah, I've been yapping a lot. What'd you think about this match? And I guess Mercedes pick, yeah. She retains again in another great match. God, these women's championship reigns kick ass.
We had we opened up the match with the taste being slapped out of somebody's mouth, which you always love, you know? To get things started, like, hey, I'm here to fucking fight, you know? Timing, pacing, selling, all these things are standing out to me about Anna Jay right now. I think all this stuff has really improved in her game in the last like year or whatever you want to call it. Like, and Mercedes has been silently killing the game all year, Charlie. Like, I'm going to find it very difficult to not like have to, I'm having to completely rethink my wrestlers of the year. I think toward the end of the year, because Mercedes is, I don't think had a bad match this year, has she? I can't think of one.
No, you know, and even that match a couple weeks ago on that New Japan Strong pay-per-view. Yeah,
there you go.
People were talking about how special that was. I mean, I might really have to fucking seek that match out.
So I think
when they're talking about like that,
it's going to be like it's going to be a coin flip between her and Mariah May, I think, this year for who ends up winning Wrestler of the Year. You know what I mean? Like, it's really difficult at this point because they both had really ridiculously good years. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Interesting conversation, certainly. But you mentioned the roar of the crowd. Oh, I like the biting the arm to escape. That was pretty interesting. You know what I mean?
Innovative, it felt like.
Yeah, 100%. You don't always see that, you know? Ultimately, it still retains. But, you know, I mean, we'll get to it in predictions. Maybe that's setting up for Chris to end up winning this title back. I'm not sure, but it would be really interesting. I mean, like I said, I'm glad we have a title match for her on that show, because I think I brought it up a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'm surprised Mercedes isn't on the show, because, you know, she's been defending.
Yeah, I want to see Mercedes wrestle.
100%. Like, that's what it is. I always like to watch her do her work, because she's really good at it. So, you know.
We had a Continental Classic Blue League match where Shelton Benjamin defeated the Beast Mortos. Another really strong showing from Beast where he doesn't pick up the victory, but
he was fish flopping around, though.
He was fish flopping around. The crowd cared about what was happening. I mean, they really did. And Shelton is getting still such good crowd support. He's a heel. It doesn't matter. The crowd's loving him. And I am really... I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm loving it. And they have these popular baby faces come out trying to fight off the Hurt Syndicate post-match. But it doesn't matter because the crowd loves MVP, Lashley, and Benjamin. They just love them. And yeah, he won with the T-Bone Suplex. MVP called it the Hurt Fall. So another solid Continental Classic match.
Agreed.
And then other than that, I think that's it for Dynamite that we have. A really fun Tony Storm backstage segment. Again, this character is fucking brilliant. Tony Storm is genuine magic. So she did more on that in every episode this week. And then our main event was our main event. Nothing more than just what we had. Let's jump to AEW Rampage, where I know my biggest note I had from this first match, Mark Davis and Powerhouse Hobbs. Dude, this just might be natural chemistry Hobbs has with everyone, because I said this about Takeshita. I felt this way about Ricky Starks, and now I'm feeling this way about Mark Davis. The guy's good with anyone.
I really like this tag team. I hate to say this. Does this mean that we have to find him a tag partner and make them like a really solid tag team? Because like, I feel like I keep seeing this as well, but I don't want him to be delegated to that, because he deserves to win singles gold too. Like,
I think it's just, he is so good at just having good tag matches, but we've also seen him get some good success in the singles division. So, you know, well, just to keep him.
I'll give you a perfect example. Swerve has been world champion, but he's also been tag team champion. So maybe that's just an era of Hobbs' career that we go into, where he's just really good into, he'd be really good into tag team right now. So I don't know who I'd pair him with. Do you have any ideas off the top of your head?
I'd pair him with Mark right now. Yeah, sure. Mark's the flavor of the month.
Absolutely.
Because I love the Takeshita pairing, but obviously now he's not with the Don Callis family. But I mean, him and Mark Davis, you want to pair them up with some of our newer teams that we're getting, because we've been getting a lot of new teams in the tag division.
Because Mark is athletic enough. He can be the fire of the tag. He can be the, you know, he can be both a hot tag, but he can also be like he can be the one getting beat down that sets up for Hobbs to come in and be a big meat man. You know what I mean? Even though he's also a meat man, you know?
And we always talk about how good Brian Cage is in these tag matches.
100%.
Brian Cage is legit very good in tags.
I actually almost prefer him in tag matches, because yes, I feel like it forces him to be really specific about what he wants to do in the match. Whereas in a singles match, he can kind of just go all over the place a little bit, which isn't a bad thing. It's just like, you know, I think I just prefer when it's more consolidated, if you will. Like,
Takeshita finished off Mark Davis with the burning firing at the pinfall. So I saw someone talk about how this was a meat party match.
It sure was.
Leo Rush and Action Andretti just had a fun little tag. I've been wanting to mention them, because they're, I believe, going for the championships next. I don't know when. It might be that Fight for the Fallen, because I don't think it's been added to World's End.
I don't believe so.
And I love their speed that they bring to the table. So, yeah. And then our final Continental Classic match here that I'm talking about this week was Brody King taking on versus Commander. Now, what's kind of funny is, in the timeline, Commander had just won the ROH the ROH Television Championship about 20 minutes before this match, and then he teleported through the fucking time machine and was fighting Brody King on a Rampage. So Commander ended up losing this match, and it was the David vs. Goliath match with Commander, who, like Darby Allin, does that match so well. And yeah, it was, I mean, right away, he got like chopped and his legs were rubber, and there's like a clothesline to the side of the head. Like, Brody King is just mauling him with chops and forearms and beating the crap out of him. And then he sneak catches him with a crucifix bomb. And it's just fun. Commander does really well in these moments. He hits his big splash spots, including a 450 splash, and the crowd walks with him every time, you know? So
teleported through the time machine. What the fuck is this, Nazi zombies, bro? What the fuck?
Yeah, must have. And tremendous match. Brody King, you know, I was very vocal about how I felt about Brody and Mark Briscoe being in the tournament at the beginning. Boy, have they proved me wrong every step of the way.
So, can I say, though, while I agree with you, I think Brody, what the fuck was his point in this tournament? Like,
That I don't know. I still would have put Buddy in his spot, but yeah.
Yeah, because you could have done everything you did with him with Buddy. Well, maybe I wouldn't have liked that as much, though. Maybe that's the whole
point.
But
again, they always try and, in AEW's eyes, Brody King has always felt like the single star.
Because if Buddy's in this, actually, I'm with you, but if Buddy's in this, I actually want him to go far. You know what I mean? Whereas Brody, yeah, I can see doing what he did, and I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? But
we've seen Brody wrestle for the world championship. We wrestled Moxley. So we've seen it. They do view him, I believe, as the single star of that group. So I guess let's jump over to New York City. where you get some fun stuff on Collision to talk about.
Yeah, live from the Hammerstein Ballroom, which, I mean, you know, I think it's worth noting because Tony Khan is like the biggest mark for ECW of all time, that this was probably a show he's wanted to do for a long time.
Oh, he's
going to
do this yearly now.
Yep, this is going to become a spot that they hit. They love wrestling in New York anyway. A lot of people from AEW are from that area, you know what I mean? So it makes a lot of sense. Let's see, I have my notes written weird this week, so I'm just trying to figure out where Collision begins. Brain broken. Here we go. Hey, Christmas Collision live for the Hammerstein. All right. So I do want to note this, even though we didn't talk about that. So all the segments on this episode with Big Boom AJ and Big Justice didn't really land for me. I'll just be honest. You know what I mean? I don't know why.
I thought the one with Bowens hit like crack.
It got there in the end. The first one, though, with Rick Bone zone.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't watch it. I had to skip it.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was tough.
It was that awkward, like, cringe thing, and I can't do that. I can't do it.
Maybe that affected the other one later for me.
Yeah, the other one was phenomenal.
The other one. No, I'll give you the Bowens did save the other one, though. I did want to note that, though, because I said something
to
you.
You're a jackass!
It worked. Like, is it funny though? I said something to you before you watched. It's like, dude, there was a thing on there that made me just fucking like cringe, and I was like, no. And you were like, I knew you'd know exactly what it was I was talking about. Anyway, so yeah, we'll go back into the truncated because I just wanted to mention that really quickly. Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. We talked about already. Really great fucking match there. Do we want to talk about Adam Cole and MJF at all? We didn't talk about that, but I mean,
I don't think they added anything to it.
There was a Britt Baker reference, I mean, you know, which we expected. I'm surprised it took this long to get there, actually, to be honest with you, Max, but, you know. Chris Statlander doing some good stuff, you know what I mean? We had Shelton Benjamin versus Daniel Garcia in the Continental Classic Blue League. I loved the tempo of this match. It was really great. Hard-hitting, but, like, a baseline, you know what I mean? Kind of like the bass line in like a band, you know what I mean? Like it was like, I don't know, just what I wrote in my notes. Maybe it's because of all the directors I've been listening to talk about that and like, you know, and the way they direct and write and stuff like that. Anyway, do you know what this match was? It was Danny fighting for his life against all odds against a guy he just can't beat at this point in his career. You know what I mean? And there were some insane throws hit by Shelton. This German suplex like of doom that he kept trying to hit on him that he never got, but you know, he ended up hitting someone, but there was this one he wanted to hit that would have killed him. He actually would have murdered Daniel Garcia live on television with, you know? Ultimately Danny does pull out the win, and then they attempt to hurt him post-match, and Mark Briscoe and Swerve Strickland ultimately come out and help him make the save. But I really like the way this match was set up. Like, I love how Danny's fucking run in this tournament is going to be defined, especially because like, I don't know if I'm going to predict this. I have no idea, right? But it is starting to feel to me like Danny's going to win this thing or Kyle's going to win this thing. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm fine with either. You know what I mean? Especially if they're facing each other in the end. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, who could you imagine? Holy shit. But, you know? Do you have any thoughts on this match?
I thought it was pretty good. And just another Daniel Garcia match that I think he's been delivering, and I was actually surprised at the win because I 100%. Thought an easy route could have been to just have Shelton perhaps be someone to face him.
Agreed. And that'll take us to our next. We went straight into another Continental Classic match here with the Blue League, and we have Mark Briscoe taking on the Beast Mortos. And Mortos has looked good in every appearance. I'm hoping he's going to be Brody King next year, where like Brody won, I think, more this year than he did last year, I think.
Yeah.
I don't actually know that, but it feels like he did. You know what I mean? But maybe
it feels like he did, yeah.
He had a better last year. His run was defined as like he won the first three matches and then didn't. I don't think he won the rest of the tournament, right? Or something like that. Or something along those lines.
That sounds right.
Close to that, anyway. So it wasn't a good run for him last year, even though he looked good. And this year, he definitely looked better at the very minimum. But Mark's also looked so good this year, and he just looks really good winning here. I mean, Mark, you know, is very great at a lot of things. And I think like, you've been talking about how he's one of your favorite matches of this tournament is with him. You know what I mean?
100%.
Julia Hart has responded to Jamie Hayter and is confident more than ever that she's going to win at Fight for the Fallen because she believes she's injured. You know, she's in her head. She knows she's got her, you know, I mean, metaphorically by the balls because they're both women. But you know what I mean? Like, And yeah, we had the final Continental Classic Gold League match of the week. I shouldn't say the final one, but like the final one of the week. And that was Claudio Castagnoli taking on Darby Allin. First of all, this match started, well, the match wasn't technically started, but the match began with Darby diving off of the set and almost dying instantly. So, you know, classic Darby Allin, you know. And then immediately Claudio drags him into the ring and tries to hit him with the like the uppercut, like the super uppercut or whatever to get the win, and he kicks out. So it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. So the story of this match, Charlie, is Darby getting tossed around like a sack of potatoes. He literally, I put, God damn it, I need to stop sometimes in these notes because I can't help myself from fucking sharing them on the show. I put, he beat the meat till it couldn't take no more. That's what he did, though. He did. and the whole thing was, it was incredible resilience being shown by Darby Allin. But ultimately, Claudio cheated to win by using brass knuckles, which I wasn't expecting to see in this tournament. But I mean, I guess that's one way for Claudio to win in a spot where he needed to in order to have a chance, you know, in the tournament. So again, like, just your thoughts on this this last match of the Classic before we get into predictions. Charlie?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking Darby was going to win.
No, that's why the knuckles, I'm like, okay, that explains why he's not winning, because I would have expected him to win as well, yeah.
Yeah, and a good match. Some really good stuff. That Avalanche Scorpion Death Drop was fucking nuts. And he hit that coffin drop, but it only got a two count. I was like, holy shit! But, yeah, no, pretty good. And yeah, they announced Collision will be back January 4th, so your final one, Duke. You've had Collision since day one, and now it's my year next year, so that'd be kind of cool. A little switch up from the, you know, colonizing of Collision. It goes to me now.
Yeah, so I'm already thinking about how I'm going to change up. I'm going to change up how I cover Dynamite next year. And I'm really excited to show everybody what I've been cooking up in the background, because I've been thinking about this ever since we talked about switching shows, however long ago we talked about that.
Yeah.
And I've got so many ideas for how to, I'm going to start like really, like, I just, trust me, I got ideas, and everyone's going to be like, holy shit, this is really crazy, because I've got my whole flavor that I did on Collision, right? With like jokes and stuff like that and so on and so forth. It's going to be similar, but a little bit different, because I want to try and make things different since I'm covering a different show now. And also the vibe of the two shows, I think, is actually different. People might disagree.
Fundamentally, but, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah. So that being said, let's do our final bit of the show here, which is our AEW Worlds End predictions. So, okay, a couple of these, we don't exactly have the Continental Classic Tournament matches left.
Yeah, they're still airing, so
we're kind of just going to do this based off vibe and what our guess is.
And I think a better way to put it is, like, this is, if we were ones booking the tournament with what's left, this is what we would do. And I think it's probably going to be pretty close. I don't know.
I feel like we can really, really project, based on who's being featured right now, what this Final Four is going to be.
If it ends up being that,
I don't want to, like, accidentally spoil this for someone. If you absolutely want to, wait until after Dynamite. And who knows, we might be wrong anyways. But I just wanted to put that out there.
Just in case, yeah, spoiler in the warning, forefront. There could potentially be, if this ends up being the result, if you want to go in to Dynamite and every other show this week completely blind, then I completely understand. Thank you for listening to this point in the show, if that's what you decide to do.
Click back, or if you want to come back after
you
Dynamite.
Once you watch Dynamite, come back and watch. No, you can absolutely finish still, because if you're this far in, it should still be in whatever app you're listening to. It should still be this point in the show where you can just like write down where you are right now, you know, and be like, oh, okay.
So I guess let's do this. So as we know, it's going to be Blue League 1 versus Gold League 2, and Gold League 1 versus Blue League 2. And realistically, there's a pretty decent slog on the top of the Gold League. However, with the Blue League, I think we both feel pretty confident it's going to be Kyle Fletcher and Okada. And I just got him at 1 and 2, because Kyle Fletcher only needs one more win now to get his final match, and it's against Daniel Garcia. I think he's going to take that one. So, and then just based on how the other one's going, man, I think we agreed before the show, it's Ricochet and Ospreay. So, got Ricochet at 1 and Ospreay at 2. So, Ricochet beating Darby Allin, and then Ospreay winning his match against, who's he facing? Brody King, which would put them at 1-2.
God, that match is going to be a banger.
Now, that would require Claudio losing to Commander, but Commander just won a title. I just don't see Claudio being featured on this card. I just don't see it happening. So, that being said, Duke, let's just predict them both back-to-back. Coming at you from Continental Classic Semifinal, you got Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher and Ricochet versus Okada. Who do you have in your Continental Classic Final?
I made a prediction back when we did our Continental Classic predictions, and it featured two guys in the end, Will Ospreay and Okada. And so I think that's who I have winning those two matches. I think Will Ospreay versus Okada is the end game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Babyface versus heel too.
And then, I mean, should I throw my prediction for that? I guess, yeah.
Go for it.
I think Will Ospreay dethrones Okada. I think at the beginning of this, I thought they were going to definitively say Okada is the greatest tournament wrestler ever. And I think Will Ospreay has defined AEW this year. So him winning a big championship at the World's End pay-per-view, it feels right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, and they did this, if this is the route they go, Ospreay versus Fletcher just feels, Ospreay's been taking some L's. I don't think he's losing. I don't think he's losing here. I just don't see it. I'm going Ospreay defeating Kyle Fletcher. It's not going to hurt Ricochet to lose to Okada. But my God, if they gave him that rub. My God, if they fucking did that. But just like from the very beginning, you really can't. You have the opportunity here to do Okada and Ospreay and to in a way have them earn it the same night, which is fucking really, really cool. And I really love this idea of the semifinal here. So yeah, Okada versus Ospreay. And yeah, I'm also taking Ospreay here. I think 2025 needs to start a fresh start, maybe with the babyface champions. And I think if this was our first champion crowned, I think it would go over very well. So I'm with you. I have Will Ospreay becoming the new Continental Champion. Okay, next match. We have Mercedes Moné versus Chris Statlander. I'm just taking a Mercedes retain. It is being billed as the Mercedes versus Stat 2.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to run this back at the next pay-per-view, then it makes sense for her to retain here because, you know, I mean, you could run it back the other way, but I don't know if I'd want Mercedes locked back into the TBS after she just lost it, you know what I mean? I would want that to be what we're doing.
And we know Mercedes is already booked for Dynasty against Mina Shirakawa, so.
This is true.
Yeah. All right. Konosuke Takeshita versus Powerhouse Hobbs for the AEW International Championship.
Man, Hobbs is going to be in a match one of these days that he can win, and not today, though.
Yeah. Takeshita's only held this thing for 68 days. Don't get me wrong, it's longer than the last three, but I just don't think Takeshita's dropping.
Let me tell you, this is one of the few things, and I love Powerhouse Hobbs, and I want the best for the guy, you know what I mean? But this is one of those things right now where if it's Hobbs over Takeshita right now, like if we do that, and I actually piss me off straight up. Like,
there's two ways of looking at it too. Takeshita's going to be wrestling on the dome back to back nights. As far as we know, he's the only one doing it. Like one of the only ones doing it. So, do you want your international champion there? Championship there? I'm guessing you do. So, but you could also make the case of if he is losing at Wrestle Kingdom, maybe you don't want him to have it because you don't want him to lose. And then, yeah, there is a case for that. But yeah, I got him retaining as well. I think he's going to continue being the international champion. Tijuana Street Fight for the AEW Women's World Championship. Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa. I have another retain here. I got Mariah May retaining versus Thunder Rosa.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be a fucking banger of a match. It's going to be match of the night, honestly. The two of them.
Yeah.
Thunder Rosa has delivered in these kinds of matches before many a time. And Mariah May, we've also seen, has the propensity for this kind of stuff as well. So I think this is going to be like a hard-hitting, brutal match. And it's probably going to be the most brutal match of the card. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. MJF versus Adam Cole with Bat David and Mike Bennett. Singles match for MJF's Dynamite Diamond Ring.
Bro, I have no fucking clue. Probably Adam Cole wins, right? I don't MJF. Fucking know.
I got MJF here.
Oh my god, probably. They never take that ring off him, so you're probably right, honestly.
I hated those segments this week. I fucking hated them. Oh, whatever. Four-way match. So our final one here. Are you going first or am I? I lost track.
It doesn't matter.
Four-way match for the AEW World Championship, Jon Moxley, Orange Cassidy, Hangman Adam Page, and Jay White. And before you predict, answer this one first. Do you think Christian Cage cashes in his Christian in the Bank?
Okay. I don't think Christian does that at World's End.
Okay.
Unless you're going to have... Oh, you know what? Actually, I changed my mind. He is. This is going to be the craziest. This is going to be the most overbooked thing ever, but this is something that AEW...
We might be on the same exact page here, dude.
I think Orange Cassidy wins the championship, okay? Gets cashed in on, right? And then Christian is world champion. Adam Copeland comes back at Fight for the Fallen. That's your fucking main event of the next pay-per-view.
Ooh, toss those two at the Grand Slam Australia.
Or maybe the main event of the next, maybe the stateside show, because I don't know if they're going to want to travel all the way out there, but they might. I don't know. But I think those two could be really interesting. I like that we went on two different wavelengths there, because at the first I thought we were similar, but I just, that thought popped into my head. I was like, Adam Copeland, because they're going to have a fight for the world title eventually. I'm sorry. I hate to break this to everybody.
I do think Moxley loses this title.
Yes. I don't know if you. I'm just putting Orange Cassidy over because I want him to be world champion. Yeah. I've been trying to make that happen.
I am just going with the other babyface. I think it's going to be Jay White. And I do think Christian's going to attempt it, but it's not going to happen. So whether he loses that contract, because maybe perhaps we get a return of some of the Bang Bang Gang members, right? Or again, I don't know if they're holding this out for Luchasaurus to turn on him. I don't know what they're holding it out for 100%. But yeah, I fully acknowledge this could just be me root for someone, but I think Jay White taking the title to Australia makes the most sense right now. I don't know if other people feel the way about Jon Moxley's title reign as I have. And there might be people thinking it's the greatest title reign ever. And I think if World's End taught us anything last year with Samoa Joe perhaps winning that belt and doing a little run with it, I think it's going to be something similar. I think it's time for Jay White and Will Ospreay to win some gold. So our champions leaving this night would be Jay White, Ospreay, Takeshita, Mariah May, Mercedes, Daniel Garcia. Yeah, that's a fun group of champions.
Solid smattering of champions.
That's a pretty fun group of fucking champions. So
and Private Party is the tag champions too.
Yeah, who should be wrestling Andretti and Leo? Which I got a lot of high hopes for that match. I don't think there's anything that we're maybe looking at that they could add other than that tag match. If they do add that tag match, safe to say we're both Private Party.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, guys, that's it for us. And we will be back next time covering the World's End post-show. Could be talking new champions, could be this and that. We got some fun stuff. Again, if you care at all about the four pillars aspect of this, basically it's just us talking about the future of AEW for about an hour. Our previous show's out. If you haven't checked it out, I think you might enjoy it. So, yeah, other than that, I think that's all we got. We'll catch you next time. And hopefully there's some new champions next time we're live. Thanks again, everybody.
Cashes in his Wardlow in the Bank and becomes the TNT champion.
Goodbye and good.